as we can continue in our series in prayer. And I'm trying to talk about prayer in a real way. We're just trying to look at it as how we establish our relationship with God. And it's something that God has given us as a very precious gift, and it's something that we need to treasure, something that we need to value. And it's not that we do it out of duty, like it's a checklist that I just, you know, I know I got to do this because it's my Christian duty to pray, so check, did it. It's God's not asking for that. What God is asking is that you and I would have a heart that just desires, a heart that longs just to be with Him and just to have conversation with Him back and forth, to listen to Him. And then in that process of prayer, what it does to us is it develops our relationship with our Heavenly Father. And in fact, that's the only tool, if you look in throughout Scripture, the only tool that God gives us to develop a deeper relationship with Him. Yes, He's placed His Holy Spirit in us, but you and I got to respond to that, and we respond to it in prayer. And when we get into prayer, all of a sudden something happens. We start to connect with the very God that we long to meet, that we long to be with. So there's a definition I just want to start out about prayer. And it says prayer is an encounter with God and the vital breath of the believer's soul. So prayer, God meant that to be a gift where our souls are filled, where our souls are uplifted, where in prayer there's healing of the heart, when we have brokenness that we don't know what to do here in this world and we're so overwhelmed, that it's in prayer that all of a sudden we find hope, we find healing, and we find a newness in Christ that's been placed in us. And it's only in that precious moment, that sweet hour of prayer, is what we would say that old song is. It's that sweet hour of prayer where you're just connecting with God, and all of a sudden all those things that you're so overwhelmed with and your soul was so downcast from, or all of a sudden you're lifted up. And God says, I want to do that for you. But the only way that it happens is if you get into prayer. Now, when you're preparing for prayer, a series on prayer, it's difficult, especially because I know I'm speaking to a majority of Christians, meaning people who have accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. There is nothing I can say on prayer that you don't already know, right? You already know that you should do it. You already know that it's a connection to God. And in fact, there's also a lot of Christians that carry this burden around because you know you're not praying, or you know you're not praying enough, and so you have this guilt, and so you almost avoid prayer because of that. Now, here's what I don't want to do. I'm not trying to shame you. I am not trying to guilt you into doing this at all, because shame and guilt have never motivated anybody. So if you feel like you've been having guilt feelings over the last several weeks, I can tell you it's not me. It's the Holy Spirit saying, do this. This is what you're looking for. Because here's what I know is it's the compassion and the love and the mercy of God that moves us towards Him, not guilt, not shame. So I just want to challenge you to continue to pursue God. Continue to try to develop a prayer time in your life. I said 10 minutes one week. I said 15 minutes last week. I want you to jump to a half hour this week, every day. You can't do it, right? That's what I'm hearing. I can hear your minds right now. You can play video games. You can go fishing. You can go hunting. You can go cooking. You can go to work. You can go to maybe even the bars with your friends. You can make all these excuses, right? You can make a half hour a day just to connect with God, and then tell me after a week how you're feeling, how you got through that week, where you saw God moving, because all of a sudden your eyes are opened up. So as we talk about prayer, I don't want to give you a cute acronym this morning. You know, you've heard the ACTS as a prayer acronym. Does anybody know what that is? Adoration, confession, thanksgiving. Supplication. Now that's I don't want to give something like that, because here's what I know. Acronyms haven't motivated people to continue to pray in their life, right? Just because you know a cute acronym doesn't mean that you actually pray. It's a good formula. It's something that God doesn't mind, but He's not looking for that. He's looking for the genuine heart desire, the genuine passion to connect with Him. And He doesn't care if we go through this form, because there's not a form to get into a conversation with God. You know that? You don't have to go through this ACTS acronym. You don't have to go adoration. If I do that first, if I confess, and if I do the thanksgiving and do the supplication, then God's going to move. Let me tell you that God doesn't work like that. It's only when there's a heart that is broken, a heart that is surrendered, that God is moved. It's not a mechanism. It's not something that we use to manipulate God. And somewhere we've made it mechanical. Somewhere we've kind of like made it like a mystery of something that you got to unlock. Let me just tell you, it's already unlocked. It's waiting and it's there for you. But you got to do it. You got to make it a priority in your life. So a couple things to establish as we kind of go into this just a little bit. First thing is with all the immense noise in the universe. I mean, the universe is noisy, you know that. I mean, stars are exploding, stars are being formed, the sun is burning and having all those little sunspot that cause these eruptions, and there's sounds all throughout our world. You go out into creation, there's birds chirping, there's animals making all kinds of noises. Then you come into your home, and most of you have children that are screaming or spouses that are screaming, hopefully not too loud at you, but you have those, don't you? It's just noisy everywhere you go. I mean, you have grandchildren, man, it gets noisier. But in all the noise of all the universe, and we have to get this one simple thing, God hears. He hears you. He hears what you have to say. How do I know this? Because it's if you look throughout the Bible, and you can kind of see a time where the Israelites, where they were getting ready to, they're actually kind of getting ready to go out of Egypt, but they were in captivity, and they were actually called the Hebrews then. And they were in captivity while they were there. They were crying out. They were searching for God, looking for God to deliver them. And what does that scripture say? The scripture says that God heard and God sees and God delivered them. And you can go back throughout the Old Testament. And in the garden, God walked with Adam and Eve. He walked with them. He had conversations with them. He heard them. He hasn't changed. In fact, after sin entered into the world and everything's broken and Adam and Eve got cast out of the garden, God's desire was still to hear from us, still to be with us. If you go through the Old Testament and you look at the sacrificial system, it's all about God trying to get into the lives of his creation. Trying to find a way where you and I can come into his presence and we can have communion. And then you fast forward through all that and then Jesus comes. And Jesus provides a way for us to connect with God. We know that we're heard because God knew that we needed a Savior. We needed that relationship with him. And so he provided his Son to establish that. And it's beautiful because God is always wooing us and always drawing us into this relationship. He hears what's going on. He knows what's going on. But Kelly, wait a minute. I prayed about those hurricanes hitting Florida, and the hurricanes hit Florida. And some people lost their homes and a lot of devastation and all this stuff happened. But God didn't answer that prayer. And here's what I'm going to tell you. God doesn't answer every single prayer. Why did the hurricanes hit Florida? Why did they hit Texas? I don't know. I'm not going to be like some of the Christian leaders in our culture that say it's because it's the sin of this person. It's because of the sin of this group of people. It's because God's judging America. God might be judging America. But here's what I know. God is using all of that devastation to reveal more of himself. He's waking up people who have forgotten who he is. And he'll use those situations. And he's using people to go down and minister the love of Christ. He's using people to go down and help people that are in dire need. God's doing all that. He's still in control. Why did it happen? Can't explain it. Don't know why. But here's what I know. God still hears. And in the Psalm 8, verse 3, this is what I think David was just kind of trying to grasp and try to get his mind around, is that even though that God is so big and so immense, even though the universe is so noisy and there's all this chaos going around, hurricane, storm, broken marriages, broken relationships, all this crazy stuff going on, even though it's so noisy, he hears you. And look what he says. He says, when I consider your heavens. David's looking up at the sky going, man, when I consider your heavens, and he's seeing the stars, and you know what? He didn't have the Hubble telescope to let him in on all the other secrets that are out there and all the other universes and all the other constellations, all the things that we've discovered. He was just looking at what he could see going, wow, God, you've created all this, but you hear me? You know me? Look at what it says. He says, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moons and the stars which you have set in place. And I love that verse because this is like the work of God's fingers, the universe. It's not even his whole hand. It's not even his whole being doing it at all. He's just using his little fingers to, you know, put all these things up and hold all these things together. And then he says, what is man that you are mindful of him? The Son of Man that you care for him. You made him just a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You made him rule over the works of your hands. You put everything under his feet. All the flocks and the herds and the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, the fish of the sea, all that swim in the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. And David's like going, man, when I look at all the noise and all the universe and all the bigness and all the grandeur of it, who am I that you're so mindful of me, that you hear me? You know what's going on in my life. You know the struggles that I'm going through. You know the sins that I'm involved with. You know all this stuff, God. And you lean down and you hear me. And then the second thing that we have to kind of gather our minds around, that, yeah, God hears us, but God hears you. A lot of people have a hard time with that. Does God really hear me? You are part of his creation. You are part of his crowning jewel. You're part of the human race. God has created you special and unique, and he has given you a gift of prayer. He's given you the gift of his Son, and he says, I'm listening to you. Yeah, God hears, but he listens to us individually. You have the psalmist kind of wrestling with this in Psalm 34, 17. And I think this is where some of us wrestle, because of, we don't think that we're good enough to even go into the presence of God sometimes. So we don't pray, because we know what we did this week, right? We know what sin we were involved with. We know that what conversation I had about somebody that I shouldn't have had. We know that I failed him over here, and I let words slip out of my mouth that shouldn't have slipped out of my mouth, or I didn't do what he asked me to do. We know all that stuff. And so a lot of people are like, they're ashamed, and they're just afraid to come into God's presence, and they're like, going, how could he want to even hear from me? Because I'm just a wretch. I'm just so ugly. I'm so vile because of what I do. And the psalmist writes these words in Psalm 34, verse 15. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their cry. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut the memory of them off the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all of their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. He says that God hears the cries of the righteous, and you're going, I'm not righteous. I think we forgot what the gospel is really about. It was never about your righteousness. You are not righteous. I am not righteous. The only way that we can go before God and have a relationship and have communion with him is through a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's the righteousness of Christ that was imputed on us, or placed on us once we believed in Jesus Christ as our Savior, that was put on us, that God sees you as righteous. And because of Christ in you, and because of what Christ has done, God hears you personally. He hears what's going on in your heart, and he knows what's going on inside of you. It's never been about your righteousness. Are you measuring up? And if I measure up and I do all the right things, do all this good, and then I can get into heaven, or I can get into a conversation. It's never been about that. It's always been about the righteousness of Christ. And God, and maybe you're feeling right now like, man, I really shouldn't go talk to God, because last night, man, what I did last night is horrible. I know I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have looked at that, or I shouldn't have opened that book, or I shouldn't have peeked at this, or whatever it was. God's saying, I look at the righteousness of Christ. Come into my presence. When you come into my presence, I hear your cry, because you're crying out. You're going, God, free me from the sin that I'm so entangled in. And it's only when you get into prayer that all of a sudden you lift it up again. And you start to see that God is going, I want to be with you. So it's always about Christ's righteousness. Now I'm just going to read a bunch of scriptures and kind of talk through them, because here's what I think about prayer. I don't think prayer is caught. I don't think it's even taught. But it's something that you have to practice, and it's something that you have to do. And it's only when you practice it and do it that you actually begin to pray. And you begin to do it as part of your life, not as a habit, not as out of obligation, but because out of a desire to connect with God. And so as we look at these scriptures, I just want to keep pointing to the fact that God hears, He's listening, and He hears you specifically. Psalm 18, verses 6 says this: "In my distress, I called upon the Lord. To my God, I cried for help. From His temple, He heard my voice, and my cry to Him reached His ears." Don't you just love that? In my distress, in my brokenness, in my overwhelmed feelings of I can't make it anymore, in my distress, I called out to God. I prayed to Him. And as I'm in my distress, my voice goes up to His temple, where God, the God, the creator of heaven and earth, His temple, His throne, where He dwells, our voices go there because of Christ in us. And when they go there, what's so beautiful, they don't just sit there and kind of stir around in His temple. He hears it in His ear. He knows what you need. He knows what's going on. He can be trusted. Now, why does He not answer prayers? I don't know. I'm just being totally transparent. I don't know why God answers one person's prayers and another prayers. I have no clue. But this is what I know. God is always working for our good in every circumstance. When we have a humble at heart and we're surrendered to Him, He's always working. And we just have to trust. Yeah, these things over here might not have came true, that when you were praying them, I prayed for this and God didn't do that. I mean, my dad had cancer, most of you know that. I wanted God to heal him. God didn't heal him. God took him. What did I see? I saw my father come to Christ. I saw my mom get peace that is beyond any measure, beyond comprehension. I saw other people just coming to kind of to comfort us and show us the love of God. I mean, that's all part of God's plan. Maybe that was His answer to all the prayers. I got to be okay with it. I trust Him. He's that big. And He's that trustworthy because He hears my voice and He acts on my behalf. Jeremiah 29, verse 12, it says this: "Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen. You will seek me and find me. When you seek me with all of your heart, I will be found by you, declares the Lord." Now, before you kind of put this on a bumper sticker, you know, because a lot of people like to put verses like, you know, then you will call upon me and come and pray to me and I will listen and come. You got to understand the context of this verse. The context of this verse is what's happening right now in this verse is Israel has been rebelling against God. They have stopped pursuing Him. They have stopped the relationship with Him. A lot of them have stopped doing the sacrifices. A lot of them have picked up faulty religions and replaced them with the one true God and kind of pushed Him to the side. And God is like going, I'm going to have to do something. And it breaks God's heart. I know it does. I'm going to have to send them into slavery. I'm going to send them into captivity. Where while they're in captivity, the weight of that captivity, the weight of the oppression is going to break them. And when they're broken, they're going to start to pray. When they're surrendered, they're going to start to pray. And then I'm going to listen. And I'm going to act. God says, I'm going to come when they begin to seek me with all of our hearts. I'm going to answer them. When they're finally at an end of them, and when they need me, and I'm going to deliver them. And He delivers them. In Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 2, this is what the Lord says: He who made the earth, the Lord who formed it and established it in His name, says, call to me, and I will answer you, and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. Well, Jim Freiling said that this is what he tells his college students. If you haven't studied for the exam, high schoolers maybe too, if you haven't studied for the exam, call upon the Lord. You know, it's your lifeline. He'll tell you things that are unfathomable, unsearchable, right? He's going to give you all the information that you need to get that exam, right? No. When what's happening here is God is saying, when you call upon me, I'm going to give you answers and things and teach you things that are unfathomable. What's unfathomable? God's love, God's grace, His mercy, how He hears you, how He loves you, how He adores you. That's unfathomable. How He sent His Son into this world. He's going to teach you about those type of things. And He does teach you about things on earth too, because I can tell you from doing electrical, there's been many a times where I was doing a job and it wasn't going together the way that it should. And I started to become a little bit unchristian, if you know what I mean. Start throwing tools, start getting very upset. And then going, why in the world isn't this happening? And all of a sudden, it's like all of a sudden that little voice inside, he goes, just go pray. I went back into my truck and I'd pray. You know what happened? I'd walk right up to what I was doing. Boom, 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 put it together just like that. I'm thinking, why did I waste over 3 hours of anger and frustration when I could have just went to God and He would have just helped me? It's like God wants to do that for us. He'll teach us, but it's when our hearts are surrendered and when we're pursuing Him. James says this: you want something, but you don't get it. You kill and you covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and you fight. You do not have because you do not ask. And God's simply just saying in that is, in prayer, we do ask. We ask for help. We ask for Him to deliver us. We ask for those things. But a lot of us aren't asking. He said, it's only when you ask that I'm going to give it. Yeah, I know what you need, but you got to be humble. You got to be willing to surrender. And then Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. And I think these are some of the most powerful verses in the Bible. I think it's stunning and it's unfathomable, actually, to think of these words. It says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Come to me, all you who are weary. Your labors are just a burden. All your life has just been too overwhelming. And He says, come to me. I mean, you have a party. You don't invite the people who have all the needs, right? You don't want Debbie Downer to your party, right? You know what I mean by Debbie Downer? You go, hey, I have ice cream cake. Oh, I'm lactose intolerant, sorry. You know, you don't have those. I'm not saying anything about lactose intolerance, but I'm just saying, you know, those type of people where you don't normally invite the people who have all the burdens. You just don't want them there, right? God says, I want all the people with all of their baggage, all of their burdens, I want them to come to me. And this is so powerful because God says, with all of your dysfunction, with all of your brokenness, with all of your gunk, I just want you. All of the religions in the world say this: clean it up, get your act together, then you can get into their religion. God says, no, come. I want to talk with you. I want to have communion with you. I understand you just sinned last night. I understand you just sinned about a half an hour ago. Just come on. All that baggage, just come into my presence. And when you come into my presence and you have communion with me and you dine with me, I'm going to give you rest for your soul. I mean, isn't that what we really want? Isn't that what we're really, really looking for, is rest for the soul? And God says, it's in that moment where we surrender and we come into the presence of God and we let God consume us. And we say, here's all my burdens. Here it is. Here's the broken relationship right now. Here's my work struggle. Here's my life struggles with all my sickness. Here's everything. Here it is, God. And God goes, I got it. I'm going to give you strength. I'm going to give you peace. I'm going to give you hope here. And then in Philippians it says this. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ. I mean, first of all, a lot of people take these verses out of text. If somebody is anxious and they're having a hard time in life, don't give them this verse. Please don't. This is talking about, are you identifying you as a person? Are you so overwhelmed right now? Are you thinking and are you worried about all these things? It's just reminding us that we have a God. Yeah, even though the universe is busy. Yes, the world is busy. Yes, our lives are busy. He hears, he sees, he knows, he still loves you, he still cares, he's still in control. So you don't have to be anxious. Don't focus on all those things. But it says what? It says to bring it in prayer and petition where you're talking with him. God, I need some help here. God, I need some help over here. And then when you start to have those things, it doesn't mean that he's going to take those things away. But you start to have that conversation with God, all of a sudden you're going, I have peace. I don't know why, but I have peace. I have hope. I don't know why I have hope. I'm sure it doesn't look very, very, very interesting to go over here, but I got to go over here. But I have hope and I have peace about this situation because I brought it to him. And he says, and what God's going to do, he's going to guard your heart. He's going to make sure that this world and all the brokenness and all the corruption that's here is not going to change your heart. You're still going to be in love with God. He said, but it's in prayer. It's only with prayer. Then Hebrews says, let us go then. Approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. I just love that verse. Because of Christ, because Christ in us, we can go boldly before the throne of God, boldly, and come into his presence. And as we go into his presence, we find grace, we find mercy, we find everything we're looking for. And God, can you see this theme throughout the Bible? Praise God, petition God, confess. You see this all throughout the Bible. And what happens? We get peace. We get hope. What I love about the Bible is the Bible's real. The disciples, you know, they were with Jesus for 3 years. They saw him heal people. They saw him do the incredible things that we can't even comprehend. But yet they didn't understand prayer. And they came to Jesus and they said, will you teach us how to pray? We show us, because when they saw Jesus, doing something. He was going to his Father, and he was going to Abba, Father. And that's like the most intimate term, Abba, Father. I want to be in your presence. I just want to talk to you because I know you commune with me. And they saw that. They saw that when Jesus was talking to his Heavenly Father, it wasn't like an earthly father. God wanted to hear from his Son. You and I are sons and daughters of Christ. He wants to hear from you. And it's like Jesus is like going, go ahead, go to him. He wants to hear from him. He's not going to be like an earthly father, where an earthly father goes, you know what, just stay quiet. Go over here. Don't bother me. That's not God. God's like, come on, come over here. In fact, God goes like this. Can you tell me again? You know, not like our earthly fathers. Our earthly fathers would say, go ahead and ask it again. You know, that was a threat, right? I dare you to ask that again. Well, God's going, no. Ask me again. I'm okay with that. Because I want to hear you. And Jesus starts to instruct his disciples. This is kind of how you pray. But I don't want this to be like the model prayer, if you will. We hear that a lot because everybody thinks you got to pray like this, this, and this. That's not what Jesus is talking about. He's talking about having this heart that's completely surrendered, where we're praising God for who he is. We're bringing our requests. We're having a conversation with him. And then as we praise him and we bring our petitions, all of a sudden sometimes there's confession. What happens? All of a sudden you start to realize that you need forgiveness for something that you've done because the Holy Spirit's moving in you. God doesn't say you got to go through this form to get him to move. God is moved by a heart that is broken, a heart that is contrite, downcast, and weary. Jesus gives these words and he says, pray then like this, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Now, sometimes in the King James Version says, Father who art in heaven. Sometimes people get really lofty with their words. You don't have to be lofty with words with God, okay? Just talk to him. Normal. He's not looking for a form. He's not looking for specific words. So will you read this with me and start out with Our Father. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. What a beautiful prayer. I just want to point out a few things in this. If you kind of track through the Lord's Prayer, there's two poles that are at work. Praise and petition. And petition is simply asking for the request. Just simply telling God what's going on inside of you. It's always working between these two poles. It's going back and forth, and then confession kind of comes in there. Because of you're recognizing that God is all this. He's holy. He's righteous. You're not. You're recognizing, in the middle of the prayer, you're recognizing how you're so needful of Him. How you without Him, you're nothing. Without Him, that you're hopeless. And that's what praising, you're just praising Him. And the petitions are like, God, here's what's going on. And He says, this is how I want you to pray. Just praising me, and I want you to petition me. So I want to do something this morning as we kind of close out. I want to take Psalm 23. And I want us to look at Psalm 23, and I want us to pray it through. Because I said earlier, I don't believe that prayer is taught or caught. I believe it's practiced is how you catch it. Now, some of you right now might be thinking, okay, wait, I'm not a believer. I don't even know who Jesus Christ is. I'm just checking this Christian thing out. Here's what I want you to do during this moment. Just take a moment and pursue God. And what I mean by that is just ask God to reveal who He is. Ask Him to show you His great love and mercy towards you. And here's what I know. He's faithful and He will do that. I know this may seem weird to some of you. Some of you are just kind of new to the church here. But this is something that I believe is so important, is prayer. So, and there's another group in here that they would call themselves Christians, but they're only there's a term that I don't even know what to do with. It's called nominal Christian, meaning that they say that they're a Christian, but they don't practice. They don't have any fruit in their life. They're not really surrendered to God. They're more of the world than of Christ. To you, I would just ask this. You're thinking you want to check out because, you know, this prayer stuff's not for you. I want to leave. Don't check out. Don't leave yet. Just take a moment with God and ask Him to show you His great love. And when you see and find His great love, you will fall in love with Him. And you will live every moment for Him. For some of you who have been Christians and prayer is a normal part of your life, just take this as a time where you're just connecting with God. I want to show you how we can just pray Scripture through, because sometimes we don't know what to pray, right? Sometimes we don't know how to pray because we're just so overwhelmed or we don't know where to start. Well, Psalm 23, I think just about everyone in this room knows it. Even if you haven't been to church, you've heard this psalm. So I just want to have a time where we're thinking about consciously that God hears us. God hears you. And I want you to consciously think about praising, petitioning, and confessing, okay? Psalm 23, verse 1 says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want." God's a shepherd. What's a shepherd do? He leads. He guides. He protects. He comforts. You know, maybe you can recognize a season in your life where you can see God has delivered you. That God has been that shepherd who has been watching over you. Then just take a moment and just praise Him for that. Praise Him for that circumstance. And maybe you're at a point right now where you just feel lost. You don't know where to go because of life and some things that have happened. And then you just take some time and confess to God and go, God, I'm losing faith. I need you to be my shepherd. I need you to lead me. And then it says, I shall not want. God, help me be content with who you are and all of you. But maybe you don't know what to pray, then simply pray, the Lord is my shepherd. God, help me not to be in want. So just take a moment and just pray whatever it is right now. Whether it's petitioning, whether it's praising, or just confessing. And then verse 2 says, He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. The truth is, there's times where God leads us to green pastures by quiet waters because we're so busy and our soul is so broken and so overwhelmed that we need to rest. Maybe you find yourself right there right now. Would you just simply say, God, I confess this is where I'm at. I can't find you in the middle of the chaos of my life. Maybe you're a person who's, you've just been led out of that quiet time where God has given you a time where you've been able to rest and find him. Would you just simply just praise him? And maybe you don't know what to say. All you need to do is say, God, I trust you when you lead me into a green pasture and you bring me beside quiet waters. I trust that you have my best in mind. So just simply pray. And verse 3, it says, He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And you know, maybe you just came through a season where you were so broken, but God has been restoring you. Would you just praise Him for that? Praise Him that He's restoring and breathing new life into your soul. But maybe you are in that point where your soul needs restored because you're so broken. Because maybe you have financial difficulties, maybe there's relationships. Would you just ask God to restore you? Just say, God, I need you to restore me. God, I'm losing my faith because my soul is so broken. And maybe you are wandering down a path that is full of destruction, full of evil, and you know it. I need you to be put back on the path of righteousness. Ask God to put you back on that path for His glory. Just simply pray. And verse 4 says, Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You know, maybe you feel like you're in the valley of the shadow of death because of there's no hope. Just take a moment just to ask God to show you that He's with you. Because in the scripture it tells us that we got a God that's with us in that valley. He hasn't abandoned you. To know a little bit about the scripture, that this a staff and a rod, they're two different tools, and a sheep would wander too often. And the shepherd would take that staff and would break the front legs of that sheep. And then the shepherd would take that sheep and carry that sheep until its legs were mended. And that sheep would never depart from the shepherd. Maybe that's you. Then ask God to bring you back. Maybe you just need comfort. Just pray. Whatever you need. And verse 5 says, You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. In the presence of our enemies. And what David's vision when he's talking about this is that the sheep would come into a pasture and there were holes in the ground, and in those holes were adder snakes, and that was actually the number one reason that most sheep would actually get killed. And those adder snakes would think that the sheep were trying to hurt them, and so they would bite them. So the shepherd would go out with oil and he'd pour the oil into every single hole. So the adder snake would try to get out of the hole, but it would slip down every time and not harm the sheep. You know, maybe you've been through that season where God has provided for you. He's given you protection. He's been watching over you. Didn't just praise him for that. Maybe you find yourself in a situation where you just need his protection. You need him to go before you and provide. Then ask that. Maybe you feel like your cup is empty because your soul is so broken. Just ask God just to fill it. Just go ahead and pray. And the last verse says, "Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord." And all I'm asking at this point in this verse is just to praise God. Praise God that he's given us Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, so that way we can escape our sin and we can have an eternal home with him forever and ever. But maybe you haven't accepted Christ. Then it's just simply you saying, "God, I want to get to know you. I want to know what eternal life is. And I desire that. I want to dwell in your house." So just pray. Heavenly Father, we've just spent just a moment praying through a scripture. Just in that little moment of a sweet hour of prayer where we just get to connect and you get to hear us. God, I can feel your spirit just touching people's hearts right now. You're giving them exactly what they need because they're so broken. And you're just accepting the praise for who you are. God, help us to understand prayer. Put it inside us, a desire, a longing to connect with you. In Jesus' precious name. Amen.
This has been a message from Gaines Church in Caledonia, Michigan. We'd love to have you join us at one of our Sunday services. Visit GainesChurch.org for more information. One life, one hope, one destination.